If you have your Bibles, open up to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18 is where we're going to start this morning. Great to see you and to be together on the first day of the week to worship our God, to consider His Word, and to encourage one another. When Jesus was here on earth, there were a lot of different types of people that He spent time with. And many of those people would be considered as lesser or on the outskirts or the fringe of society. He spent time talking to the poor, to beggars, to people who had been diseased, to lepers. He spent time with people who had been demon-possessed, with tax collectors and prostitutes. And Jesus spent time and gave attention even to little children. In Matthew chapter 18, the disciples come and ask Jesus a question. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1. It says, at that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." The disciples come and ask a question to Jesus. And what's on their mind at this particular point is, who is the greatest in the kingdom? Lord, if you were going to rank us, if you're going to set us in order from number 1 to number 12, where do we fall in line? Who's in that top spot in the batting order? Who's number one? Who's first on the list? Jesus used all different kinds of methods when He taught people. He used parables, illustrations. He talked about things that were around people that they could see, the birds and the fields. But in this instance, Jesus calls for a volunteer. And He asks for a little child to come up, and He sets this little one in the midst of His disciples, and He says, "Unless you become like children, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." Unless you become like children. These are grown men that Jesus is talking to, the disciples. Some of them were fishermen by trade. That's a job that requires a lot of strength and energy. They are facing the elements. They are being tested. They are strong. And yet Jesus says, if you want to be great, you have to become like a little child. Can you imagine going to a presidential convention? And the party is bringing out the candidates for the upcoming election. And candidate A is an attorney. And he served a couple of terms in the U.S. Senate. And candidate B is a governor of a very heavily populated state. And then candidate C over here is a little boy from a small town outside of Jackson, Tennessee. That's ridiculous. We would never think of putting a little child in that type of context. And yet Jesus says that those who will be great, those who will be first, those who will be the leaders in His kingdom will be like little children. That is an interesting concept for Jesus to make that comparison, because there are a lot of people today that have a very negative view of kids. Children are noisy, and they require a lot of attention, and they are busy, and they're moving, and they're active, and they ask lots of questions, and they are loud. When Jessica and I took our first plane trip very soon after our daughter was born, about 6 months in.
And I can remember that feeling of walking up to the gate there at the airport, holding a six-month-old, and the look of terror on people's faces as they're thinking in their minds, I hope they're not sitting next to me. Nobody wants to be crammed into those tiny seats for 2 hours next to a couple of people who have a screaming baby. Children are a lot of work, and they are noisy, and they're moving, and they're sometimes very difficult. So what was Jesus talking about here in verse 3 of Matthew 18 when he says, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. In what way must we become like children? Today is Mother's Day. It's a time when people honor and show respect to the mothers that are in their lives. And although all of us can look at children and learn lessons and see these truths and these principles, mothers in a very special way see these applications and these truths play out in front of them as they're raising their little ones. And isn't it true that we learn so much about our Heavenly Father when we ourselves become parents? So what does it mean to become like children? There's a lot of things that we could say about this, but I want to consider four qualities this morning. First of all, from this context, we have to be humble. We have to be humble. Jesus here in verse 4, Matthew chapter 18, says, therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus points out that children by nature have a spirit of humility. Children don't care about status or position. They're not concerned with how they rank among other babies. You know, as parents, we can spend a lot of time and energy making comparisons between our kids and the children of other people. My kid is crawling and theirs is walking. My kid is always loud and theirs is quiet as a mouse. My kid is never taking naps and theirs is always sleeping. My child is bald and theirs has hair. We go on and on about the silliest little things. And you know what babies think about all that? They absolutely don't care. And I can guarantee you that when you fill out that application to go to college, not one question on there says anything about when did your child learn to walk? When did they learn to count to 10? All that stuff in the long run is not going to matter. And so children don't stay up late at night worrying about these types of things. And they certainly don't spend their energy boasting or telling other people about how great they are. They simply exhibit this attitude of humility. Kids are humble and they're modest. They're not concerned with their position, how other people view them. Have you ever noticed that little ones, they don't mind what kind of clothes they're wearing, if they're in style, what brand they are, how expensive they are, how they look. In fact, they'll go right out of the house with something smeared all over their face. It doesn't make a difference to them. They are not concerned with external appearances, and it's not until later on in life that we begin to pay attention. We begin to be mindful. We begin to think about how others perceive us, how we're going to be taken, how we're going to be accepted. Humility is something that we have to relearn as adults. Because in so many ways, it doesn't come natural for us. We compare. We compete. We like to have nice things. We like to be well thought of and accepted in the minds of other people. And in society, there is going to be bias and prejudice and pride that cause us at times to look down upon other people. But think about the example of Jesus. Look at Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25. Jesus came and lived here on this earth, a king living among men. Matthew chapter 20 and verse 25, Jesus speaking to the disciples about this principle, he says, but Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus says that in the world, among the Gentiles, those who are well respected are the ones who assert themselves. They lord it over. They have the authority in this world. And Jesus says, not so among my people. Whoever desires to be great, whoever desires to be first, to be prominent in the kingdom, will be servant, will be slave of all. What does that mean to become a servant, to show that spirit of humility? That means that we're going to be considerate of other people. We're going to take the needs of others and value those as more important than our own. We're going to show concern for what's happening in the lives of other people. Being a servant means we're going to show hospitality. We're going to open up our home. We're going to extend the blessings that God has given us to other people. Being a servant means I'm going to talk less and listen more. I'm not going to be boasting or always explaining or telling other people about all the great things that I and my family and my job and everything that God has given to me. But instead, we're going to associate with the lowly. We're going to be able to talk to anybody, regardless of their past or where they've been or how much money they have or their status. We will regard all people in the same way. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 16, it says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Associate with the lowly. It doesn't matter if we're married, if we have kids, if we've got a great job. We should always be willing to reach out to other people, no matter what state they're in. And so if you want to be a rising star in the kingdom, you want to be one of those standout Christians that everyone looks up to and respects, if that's the case, you will be found serving other people. We become like children when we show that spirit of humility, to be humble. Second of all, to become like children means to be joyful. We become like children when we show an attitude of joy. You ever notice how kids are so easily excited? They get up and they get happy and they show excitement over the smallest things. Sometimes as adults, we're surprised by what gets them going. By the littlest thing that they receive or the thing that they get to do, and all of a sudden they get so happy. They don't take the little joys that they find in life for granted. Even the smallest things, a little sticker that somebody gives them, the opportunity to go and write on the chalkboard or the whiteboard at school, extra recess, all of those things are enough to get them excited, to express that joy, to show their emotions. I went to volunteer in a second grade class. That's roughly eight-year-olds. And on the last day of the volunteer activity, we brought in some donut holes for the kids. And I am not kidding you. When they heard that they were going to get donut holes, they literally started applauding and cheering. Now, it's not like these kids have never had a donut hole in their life. They grow up in the United States. I mean, they've had donuts and stuff. But yet, even something small like that caused them to show great joy, to be excited, to express themselves, to express their gratitude. Look at Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. As God's children, we should be people who live lives of joy and contentment. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Rejoice. He says, rejoice. And don't miss that word, that key word there in verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice in the Lord always. No matter what circumstance we find ourselves in, we have to have that state of mind where we focus on the blessings that God has given to us. Instead of thinking about the negative things and the challenges and the difficulties and the hard times that we face in this life, there is so much that we have to give thanks and praise to God. Our health, our family, our jobs, the country where we live, even things as small as clean water is something that we take for granted on a daily basis. And so we need to be reflective. And as little children, when they see something that they know is an act of kindness or a gift that's been given to them, they express themselves and they show that great joy. And much more than the physical blessings and the wealth and the material things that we have here on this earth, the spiritual blessings that we've been given through Jesus Christ, that in itself should be a cause for great rejoicing among God's people. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 31, it says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things?" Christians should live lives of joy. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God has freely given us the sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ, then how will he not also graciously give us all things? We have much to be thankful for. And like little children, do we express that gratitude and that appreciation? That a lot of that can happen in our prayers. We need to be reflective when we pray. We need to be more specific, not just saying routine and monotonous prayers where we make general statements about thank you for all of my blessings, but be specific. And I challenge you to pick out something, maybe pick out a person that has had an impact on your life. And in every prayer for 1 week, mention at least one person that's had an impact or an influence on your life. And thank God for that person. Or pick out a specific area of your health, something that you are grateful for, the ability to walk, the ability to breathe, something about your physical condition that you have the ability to do, and give thanks and praise to God. Be specific. Express yourself to God in our prayers and also to other people. And I know everybody doesn't do that in the same way and at the same time, but all of us, whether it's a card or a text message or an email or just a hug, we can show that expression of thankfulness to live lives of joy. That should come out. That should be seen in our attitudes. The next point that we can see from children is that they are trusting. We have to be trusting. In order to be like children, we've got to be trusting. Little children are extremely vulnerable. They rely on their parents for everything, for their food, for their clothing, where they're going to sleep, everything, their shelter, their safety, that all comes from mom and dad, from their parents. They are completely dependent upon someone else for their survival. Now, that's not the case with every animal and every creature here on this earth. Horses are up walking about an hour after they're born. Pretty much everything that swims in the sea, fish and crabs and all of those creatures, they don't ever know their parents. They don't need their parents. Have you ever seen those sea turtles, the little tiny ones? They lay the eggs on the beach. And then when those things hatch, there's this mad dash to make it into the ocean. Mom and dad aren't around to try to protect and help and guide and nurture. They are on their own. But have you ever wondered why God did not create our babies like that? It's not like at the hospital they're born and then they come crawling out the front door and go find jobs for themselves. 15 years. And that's aggressive. 15 years for them to get to the point where they would be able to survive. More realistically, it's probably like 20 years. For them to get to the point where they are mature enough, where they are able to survive on their own. We are completely dependent upon our parents. And God set it up that way to teach us so that we would learn that lesson about being trusting, about being reliant upon other people. There is so much that we can learn from children. They're not only physically dependent, but they're also very trusting in the way that they interact with other people. If you tell a child something, they are going to believe you. They listen well. They accept things. They're not skeptical or doubtful. They take you at your word. And they are easily led by other people. They like to be around mom and dad. They trust them. They look to them for security and for safety. And they know that they have their best interests in mind, that they're going to protect them. Look with me in Psalm 62. Psalm 62 and verse 6, it's up here on the screen as well. It says, "He only is my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory, my mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us." The writer here expresses that sentiment that we have to turn and look to God. He is our fortress, that source of defense for our lives. When things are crushing in and things are starting to pressure us, God is the one who will help us to not be shaken. Our soul rests, our salvation rests upon the Lord. We trust in Him at all times. And we look to Him to provide for our needs, for our physical needs. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26, Jesus says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Jesus points out that God even provides for the smallest of creatures, the birds. And He says, you are more valuable than the animals here on this earth. And God provides for them in the same way He will provide for your needs. We have to have that trust, that belief, that faith that knows that God will come through, that He will provide for us. Trusting in God is also about believing Him, about taking His word and obeying it and understanding that His word and His way are best. We trust Him. That means we're going to follow what He says. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths." Trust in the Lord with all your heart. We don't always understand how everything plays out. And why God asks us to do certain things, or why He puts us through certain ordeals. But we can trust in the Lord. We can know that His way is best. He's going to direct us. He's going to take care of us. And at the end, He will receive us. He will give us that crown. Trust. Accept His word. Keep His commandments and follow His ways. And finally, we look at children. We think about some of the qualities that they have to become like children. We have to be willing to change. In order to become like children, we have to be willing to change. Children are impressionable. They're teachable. They're moldable. They love to learn. It's amazing how much information that they can soak up. All of the things that they're trying to take in and discover. And when you think about these little ones, they are hardwired. They are programmed to be exploring the world. When was the last time you focused in on the button of someone else's shirt and you were just mesmerized by it for several minutes, just looking at that? Little kids are all about looking and touching and feeling and exploring and learning. They are impressionable. They want to know how the world works. They ask questions, tons of questions, about why this happened and where did this go and who is this person and how does this work? And they love to learn. They are moldable. They are quick to change. If you show them something different or you introduce them to a new concept, a few times of repetition and bringing that before them, and eventually they start to pick it up. They are willing to change. They are also quick to say sorry, to apologize. They are quick to forgive. They are quick to forget about something that has been done. They move on very quickly. They don't hold grudges. You don't see a lot of two-year-olds running around with bitterness and resentful because of something that happened an hour ago. They quickly forget. They let those things go, and they are willing to change. They are teachable, trainable, and moldable. And when we think about what type of heart we have to have as God's people, we've got to be the type of children in God's kingdom that have that same attitude and desire, where we are willing to change. If we are faced with something, if something is brought to our attention that is not in line with what God speaks in His words, we've got to be willing to go in a different direction. There is no place. There is no place for stubbornness and an attitude that says, this is the way I've always done it, and I'm not about to change. That type of heart has no place in the kingdom of God. We've got to become like children and be willing to change. Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost, to save people from their sins. And part of that is having us turn away from the formal ways of living, to get rid of that garbage and that useless way of living, and to turn to the Lord, to be willing to change. There's a verse in Acts chapter 19 that's always impressed me about some of the believers that were being converted. Acts chapter 19 and verse 18. This is in Ephesus. It says, "Also many of those who were now believers came confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver." These people had been converted. They had been changed. And so because of that conviction, they are now bringing this old way of life, this witchcraft, this magic, and they are literally burning the books. Valuable, valuable books. They are burning them and renouncing those ways in the sight of all. As God's people, we have to be willing to change. Sometimes that means throwing something out, getting rid of a hobby or a habit or something that we are used to doing, putting those things aside, and with soft and moldable hearts coming to the Lord. There's so much that we can learn just by looking at little kids. And the most powerful thing about this lesson is that Jesus did not give these as optional qualities. These are not optional. He says, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. We understand the love of God because we are His children. I've been a parent for about 12 months now. And one of the things that I will say frequently to my daughter. She can't understand this yet. I always tell her, you don't know how much I love you. But one day you will. One day you will. There's certain principles about God and about our faith and about love that we just can't fully understand and appreciate until we go through some experience, until we have something happen in our lives. And I believe it to be true that all of us won't fully comprehend and understand the great love that God has for each of us until we finally meet Jesus face to face. Recognize that God is calling all people to himself. Jesus said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Those who repent, who change, who turn, who become like children will be called sons of God. If there's something that we can do for you this morning to encourage you in your walk, whatever it is, however we can help you, to pray for you, to encourage you, if you have a need, please come down to the front as we stand and sing.
Jesus, we voice of Jesus say, come unto me, I am the way, hearken the love.